This episode is brought to you by the Sterling Soap Company. Christmas will be here before you know it, and you know what would make a great stocking stuffer for everybody in your family? Sterling Soap. From bar soap to shave soap, beard balm to lip balm, aftershaves and lotions, Sterling Soap has something for everyone on your list. Check out their seasonal soaps that will complement the scents of your home this holiday season. And they're more than just soap. They also have a full line of coffee straight from the Sterling Roastery. Find their full line of products at SterlingSoapCompany.com.
125 defining moments, one legendary league. This is Darren Hayes of the Pigskin Dispatch podcast, and a great book is out right now, NFL Moments, 125 Icons and Stories That Define the NFL. It's a definitive visual history of the National Football League, packed with iconic images and untold stories behind the game's biggest plays and its greatest players. From the early legends like Red Grange to today's stars like Patrick Mahomes, this book is a touchdown for fans who crave more than just stories. So give your football bookshelf a Hall of Fame upgrade or snag a holiday gift for that NFL history buff on your shopping list. Pick up NFL Moments, available now at your favorite bookseller. The National Football League is turned upside down near the end of 2025. We have quarterback injuries galore, and we have a quarterback that's a grandfather returning to the National Football League. Is this an unprecedented thing for Philip Rivers to return? If so, who did it more, Philip or somebody else? We have those answers and more coming up in just a moment.
This is the Pigskin Daily History Dispatch, a podcast that covers the anniversaries of American football events throughout history. Your host, Darren Hayes, is podcasting from America's North Shore to bring you the memories of the gridiron one day at a time.
Before we get into our episode today, let's take the time to drill that football right into the like and subscribe button on your console so you know exactly when the notifications come up of the latest releases of Pigskin Dispatch podcast for some more great football history. Now onto our episode. Hello, my football friends. This is Darren Hayes of PigskinDispatch.com. Welcome once again to the Pigpen, your portal to positive football history. And as we are releasing this episode on Christmas Day, many of you are visiting with, you know, friends, relatives. Maybe it's your grandparents. That's where I used to go when I was much younger. My grandparents were still alive. So maybe this is an appropriate time to talk about a grandparent in a National Football League. It's kind of unprecedented. I don't know if it's ever happened before. I'm not sure even how to research that. But Philip Rivers recently, as far as 2 or 3 weeks ago, rejoined the Indianapolis Colts at the age of 43, a grandfather who has sat out of the NFL since the year 2020, so a five-year hiatus, and has come back and started in a couple of NFL games so far. It looks like he's going to start in a few more. Very appropriate to talk about a grandparent on Christmas release of an episode in the NFL. Now, this is not the first time that this has happened. We're going to talk about some of those aspects and players in just a moment. And he's not even the longest tenured player to be out of the NFL and to come back. We'll talk about those too and historical aspects of that. But it's very compelling story. He's not playing up to what he used to, at least in his first two games. He's got some balls that are fluttering quite a bit. As you know, we talked to Ed Cleese just the other day in our big bold predictions for week 17. That week 16, week 15, Philip was sort of off the mark a little bit, and passes were not as crisp as you would expect a National Football League quarterback. But they were timely, they were effective. He's getting his team in the right plays. And he's helping the Colts, even though they haven't won a game in the first two starts. They are competitive in the games against two very good teams in Seattle and Denver that he played against. So extremely interesting aspect to look at. But let's look at the historic aspects of this football return to the National Football League. 5 years for Philip Rivers. I guess you could almost want to sing the song Old Man River as you go, but not a very appropriate Christmas song and not very telling of what Philip Rivers is accomplishing. But we do have some very compelling stories. And I guess one player that Philip Rivers' return has been compared to is another quarterback from about almost 30 years ago, and that is Steve DeBerg, who in 1978 came into the National Football League with the San Francisco 49ers, and he retired in 1993, the first time in 1993 with the Miami Dolphins after playing just a handful of games. So he's retired in 94, 95, 96, 97. What happens? 1998, the Atlanta Falcons come calling with their starting quarterback, Steve Chandler. They want a solid backup. They're running for a playoff and Super Bowl run that year were the Falcons, the Dirty Birds, as they were known. And Steve DeBerg played in that league. He started in one game, played on the team for eight games. So after a five-year hiatus, very similar to Philip Rivers, came out of retirement, played a National Football League game with a quality start. Interesting. But even those two are not the most long-tenured players to be out of the National Football League. A non-quarterback, Tony Mandarich, who was a very highly touted college prospect when he came out into the NFL draft. And he was out of the league, though. Didn't have such a great beginning to his National Football League career. So from 1991 through with Green Bay through 1996, he was out of the league on a five-year absence, rejoined with Indianapolis in 96, and actually his second time around in the National Football League, had a little bit more maturity, had some time maybe to review film and hone his skills, had a much better second half of his career after a five-year absence. Interesting. If we go way back, we had a player that was called back to play in a championship game in the National Football League. Bronco Nagurski, the longtime Chicago Bear, came out of the Minnesota Golden Gophers program. He retired in 1937 after a stellar career. He's not quite a quarterback, but he did throw one of the most important passes in National Football League history. If you remember back in the early 30s, I believe it was a 1932 impromptu championship, that indoor game. He threw a pass that back then you had the five-yard rule. A pass had to be thrown from 5 yards or more behind the line of scrimmage. It was very questionable when Nagurski released the ball where he was when he threw a touchdown pass, the only touchdown of the game, as the Bears defeated the Portsmouth Spartans. Catching that pass was none other than Red Grange. And you can read a little bit about Red Grange in a recent book that we were a part of. But Chris Willis authored a book of Red Grange and the 100th year anniversary scrapbook of the barnstorming years of the Chicago Bears, 1925 through 2025. So great book. You can catch it on Pigskin Dispatch, our Pigskin Dispatch store, on pigskindispatch.com or anywhere on Amazon under Chris Willis's or my name. Some great history there. But Bronco was not the longest tenured, even though that was a five-year absence. We come to one of my players that came out with my team, the Pittsburgh Steelers, called up a quarterback in 2001. Tommy Maddox, if you remember him, he was another really outstanding college star who just came into the NFL and just had all kinds of problems. Some of them were self-inflicted. You can read about that on some other website where they're not positive football history. We're talking positive football history here in Pixie and Dispatch. But Tommy Maddox came out of college, highly touted, didn't do so well in the NFL. And in 1995, he left the league, bounced around a little bit, probably doing some odd jobs, playing in some odd leagues, and ended up playing in the original XFL. 2001, he had a good season in the XFL, and he had another shot. He was the NFL comeback player of the year in 2002 with the Pittsburgh Steelers, as he led them into the playoffs and even won a playoff game. If you remember that great comeback win the Steelers had over the Cleveland Browns after being down, I don't know what they were, probably three or four touchdowns in the second half. And he just went on a miraculous thing, really earned back his name of the Tommy Gun Maddox offense. And then, 2003, he had a so-so year. Kind of had an injury week two against the Baltimore Ravens, and a young rookie named Ben Roethlisberger came in to start and went on a 15-1 run the rest of that year and lost in the AFC Championship game. And Tommy Maddox never saw the field again after that. But 6 years out of the National Football League for Tommy Maddox. But even he is not the longest tenured one that in our research. We had a guy that was a Heisman Trophy winner, very highly touted out of Boston College, came into the league, again, did not have a very good NFL career early on, and left the league, ended up going to the CFL having a good time. That's Doug Flutie, if you remember that. So this is a Heisman winner. He had a nine-year layoff from his start to finish in the National Football League when he returned to the Bills in 1998, and he played well. He made the Pro Bowl. He was a comeback player of the year, much like Maddox was, and he led the Bills to playoffs in each of his two seasons starting in Buffalo. Definitely a great player. Went on, played a little bit with the Patriots, and has that the last drop kick in National Football League history thus far, back in the early 2000s, I believe, and still holds a record there. But Doug Flutie, a nine-year absence with it. So those are some of the players that we came up, not to diminish what Philip Rivers is doing, but to honor Philip Rivers and all these other players who, many of them came back and had much better careers in the National Football League the second time around. Maybe that'll hold true for Philip Rivers, but man, did he have a stellar Hall of Fame career his first time in the league. So I doubt it's going to happen. He'll be better than that, but you never know. Maybe he can miraculously somehow get the Colts into the playoffs and do some damage, or at least win some games. But it sure is a lot of fun to talk about. It's fun to go back and preserve the history based on what his action is in coming back at the age of 43. And the other funny thing about him is when he came back, Philip Rivers replaced Riley Leonard, the rookie from Notre Dame. And Rivers has children older than Riley Leonard is. The man who replaced him has children older than him. Kind of an odd situation. I don't know if we'll see that again. I'm not sure about the whole grandfather thing again, but we can tell you probably Doug Flutie with his nine-year absence is probably the longest tenured man to play in the NFL, leave the NFL, and then return. And but what are your thoughts? Who are some of the people that you have that maybe somebody we didn't mention? Maybe you want to comment on some of the people that we did talk about, some good memories. Remember, only positive things here at Pigskin Dispatch. So comment in the comments section on YouTube or email us at pigskindispatch@gmail.com. And until next time, everybody, have a Merry Christmas and have a great Gridiron Day.
That's all the football history we have today, folks. Join us back tomorrow for more of your football history. We invite you to check out our website, pigskindispatch.com, not only to see the daily football history, but to experience positive football with our many articles on the good people of the game, as well as our own football comic strip, Cleat Marks Comics. Pigskindispatch.com is also on social media outlets, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and don't forget the Pigskin Dispatch YouTube channel to get all of your positive football news and history. Special thanks to the talents of Mike and Gene Monroe, as well as Jason Neff, for letting us use their music during our podcast.
This podcast is part of the Sports History Network, your headquarters for the yesteryear of your favorite sport. You can learn more at sportshistorynetwork.com.
You did not see their faces on the Wheaties boxes, nor did they have the headlines, but they were breaking barriers, one pitch at a time. The integration of minor league baseball, a history and player register, 1946 to 1959, by Rick Swain and Gary C. Fink, shines a light on the overlooked heroes who paved the way for future legends. From dusty bus rides to hostile crowds, these players fought for a place in a game that did not want to see them win. More than history, it's a tribute to courage, perseverance, and the power of a game to change. Honor their legacy today and grab a copy of The Integration of Minor League Baseball at your favorite bookseller.